then the other lady to recognise.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, friends of the Earth, London campaigner and Aboriginal campaigner. London is not currently set to meet Aboriginal legal limits until sometime after 2030. What year would you aim to bring London within the limits by, and would that mean putting a halt on generating traffic and pollution generating schemes like airports and roads? Thanks.
Then the lady behind you, and then the third question down here.
Transport budgets are overstretched, yet there are plans for a garden bridge, which is a private space in one of the richest, most well-connected parts, tourist-heavy parts of the city. It's a nice idea on the surface, but when you learn about the detail, it's environmentally unsound, with millions of tonnes of concrete poured into the river, and it'll ruin the best views of London. Would the panel each consider pulling the £30 million from TfL and putting it into real transport infrastructure?
Right. Jason, you're on New West End Company, one of the sponsors tonight. What would the Mayoral candidates do to radically reduce congestion in the West End and particularly improve air quality in Oxford Street?
Right, so there's three very good further questions about congestion and air quality has come up and the garden route. Simon?
Actually, on the question about air quality, I think there's a consensus that people actually aren't worried about pollution. You know, others have said it. And actually, we've got to find out what is a solution here. In some ways, it is a result of the success of City of London. The fact that we are a place that people want to travel to, people want to work in, and actually congestion and pollution have been a result of that. And what we've got to do is, when we tackle these issues, we've got to find a way that, first of all, I'm someone who's more in carrots and sticks. I'm more sort of libertarian in nature. How do you move people on? And it's time to move people on from petrol and from diesel, and to encourage people more to use electric vehicles. Actually, there are numerous different solutions that we could be looking at. One of the biggest barriers to people taking up, I was in Japan a couple of years ago talking to Nissan about their leaf car, and we were talking about different ideas about how we move people onto electric and away from petrol. And the biggest barrier is behaviour. People are used to go to a petrol station, takes 5 minutes, they fill up, and they've got the range. And a couple of things we could be looking at are technologies such as rapid charging. In places like Barcelona, you have rapid charging ports, which are kind of no cost to the taxpayer, and they are advertised. And they use advertising to sustain them. And that shows that actually, if you've got those rapid charging, you can rapidly charge your car, you can move on. That makes electric more attractive. The other issue you looked at is, when will our car manufacturers going to come together and agree a battery standard? So the same way you drive into a petrol station and you fill up within 5 minutes, and you move out and move on. Actually, you go in, your battery's discharged, you take it out, interchangeable battery standard, and you drive on again. And we've got to be looking at those smart, innovative solutions that actually don't change people's behaviours too radically, that they're scared off of it, and they actually nudge towards using electric vehicles. And I think that's the sort of solution we've got to be looking at.
Thank you very much.
Andrew? Technology is already helping us with regard to air quality in London, and actually, actually, air quality is getting better in London, but that doesn't mean we take our eye off the ball. We've got to look at the air quality implications of all new transport schemes, and that's not an excuse for not doing them. For example, the Silvertown Tunnel is something that we have to go ahead with, but we cannot ignore the fact that that is going to have that's going to have air quality issues for people living in the south of Europe. So each scheme, we've got to take air quality into account. I think Londoners themselves know that air quality is a big issue, and I think it's quite highly possible that sometime very soon in the future it's going to actually be more important than housing as an issue. But as I say, air quality issues are not going to be resolved while we allow the unplanned frittering of runways around London. It's going to contribute to air quality. Not to take away from them. With regard to the garden bridge, you know, I'm not probably going to go for a donation to Jalana Lumley for this one. The case hasn't been made. I don't want to spend taxpayers from £30 million of taxpayers' money, actually £60 million of taxpayers' money, on something that doesn't seem to have made the case. And not only that, I don't actually think it's going to the right places. We'd have had a garden bridge connecting the east of London, the area in the east of London, and I'm going very conscious that there's a Bexley councillor sitting in the audience at the moment who's not going to appreciate this, and I've got to choose my words very carefully. But if we had a garden bridge going from perhaps Beckton over to Bexley or Greenwich, that would have been a much better solution. But where it is, I've yet to be persuaded.
Okay. Zach, air quality in the bridge. So, I didn't attend all the hustings 4 years ago or 4 years before that, but I'm pretty sure that environment and in particular air quality did not feature all that much. I suspect there wouldn't be a single hustings that we have or the candidate has after September, which doesn't feature air quality. It's become a big political issue, and rightly so. Next year is the 60th anniversary of the Clean Air Act, and the tragedy is that the problem has returned, and thousands of people every year are dying as a consequence of bad quality air. And the number of easy things that can be done, the fact that I'm told that 14% of all particulate emissions come from construction vehicles, which can be very easily retrofitted. That's a problem that can be solved relatively quickly. The mayor, the existing mayor, the current mayor, has probably done more for cycling than any politician of all time in this country. He has invested an enormous amount in cycling, and cycling has gone up by 350%. So that is something that the next mayor is going to have to continue to facilitate a rapid take-up of cycling. The 200 million cycle journeys last year, that number is going to double in the next 10 years at least. Walkability within London. But I think whatever solution you look at, it comes back to the motor car. And the technology is such already that we are inevitably going towards having an electric fleet for London. All cars, sooner or later, are going to be electric. If you get in a car outside this building and drive to Bournemouth and back again in an electric car, it'll cost you about £2.50, £2.60 for the trip, not including clearly the patches of the car. The cost of using one of these cars is incredibly low, and that is only going to get battery life is improving, the cars are becoming cheaper, and so on. So it is inevitable that's the direction we're going. I think the mayor will need to use every single lever available to facilitate that transition. That means building the infrastructure you need in London so that people don't fall short, that they can charge their cars where they need to charge their cars, making sure all new developments are kitted out to accommodate the inevitable surge in the use of electric vehicles. Every lever available needs to be used. The ultra low emission zone is one of them. Congestion charge is another, but there's an awful lot the mayor can do to facilitate that revolution. It will happen, but the challenge is to make it happen very, very quickly.
Stephen?
Yes, I've got to give credit to Boris, who has taught me about the danger of the particulates 2.5 and PM 2.5 and PM10. The public health issue is well documented by the King's research, and thousands of people suffer. Also, had the life shortened because of air pollution. So, a mayor needs to come up with a plan. And I don't subscribe to the nanny state view, which is the job of the mayor is to stand up and say, this is how you lead your lives, this is what you should do. Because there are plenty of people for whom it's not necessarily a choice to go cycling or work or walking down London, as you won't be able to do that. But equally, we need to have a set of steps by which we think about this issue, because it isn't just a public health issue, it's an economic one. And I would draw the parallel with China. Most of the businesses I talk to now locate in Shanghai rather than Beijing because of air quality. If we don't deal with the issue of central London and air pollution in places like Oxford Street, businesses will move. And they will not necessarily move to Manchester or Birmingham, they will move out of the country. We will lose that economic engine. So a mayor does need to use things like the C charge to tax the polluting vehicles, the non-Euro 6 compliant diesel vehicles, the non-Euro 4 petrol vehicles. We do need to increase the C charge for those progressively. We do need to think about ways in which we can move, particularly buses that are largely empty. The average bus has 15 passengers for 83 seats. We need to ensure that they move from the old-fashioned diesel to the hybrids and the electric. And bit by bit, the job of the mayor is to accelerate the process so that we get to the more zero emission vehicles. That is the job of the mayor, and that can be done. And those are the small things that a mayor can do.
Very helpful. Now, three of you.